This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, it's 7:07 a.m. on Monday, the 3rd of October. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. But as always, we're going to kickstart the morning with a look at how global markets closed last week.
The U.S. markets remained in bear market territory. The Dow was down 1.7%. S&P 500 and Nasdaq were both down 1.5%. Over across in Asia, a mixed picture. The Nikkei was down 1.8%. Hang Seng was up 0.3%, Shanghai Composite down 0.6%, Singapore's STI up 0.5%, and back home, FBM KLCI was down 0.2%.
So from thoughts on where international markets are heading this week, we have on the line with us Peter Lim, Chief Research Officer at Trident Analytics. Peter, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. Now, the S&P 500 has fallen a staggering 25% over the last 9 months, but some pundits have now signaled a bottom to the market. Do you think this is the right time to go risk on stocks?
I share the same view, actually. I think this actually reminds me of way back in 2008, right, when there's so much pessimism in the market and everybody think that the whole US is going to collapse. I get a very similar sentiment now, which as per in the 2008-2009 period. Yeah, I would do agree that my view is also that I think we are either close to the bottom or we're actually at the bottom of it.
Yeah, but isn't this very much also going to be driven just as long as the Fed continues to hike rates? And at the same time, we do see concerns coming out of the economy, out of Europe and also United Kingdom. So won't that play into how markets will react in the next 2-3 months?
I think another more important indicator that we need to see is actually the inflationary rate. If you look at it, the US inflation is actually it's coming down from 9.1 in June to 8.5 in July to 8.3 in August. I think the only issue was people were expecting it to be 8.1 in August, right? But if you look at inflationary, from the fall of commodity price to have an impact on the end product price, usually there's a lagging period of 3 to 6 months. So although I've seen a very fast fall in commodity price in recent months, you're only likely to see the impact on end user prices in the subsequent 3 to 6 months. So my take is this. Subsequent inflationary rate will fall much faster than what we expect. Will fall much faster than what pundits expect or economists expect. That will actually give room for Federal Reserve to decide on what to do on 2023. Yeah, although they've already plotted their chart on that, you know, they aim to be up to 4 to 5% in 2023. But if the inflation rate is falling much faster, I think that will give them some room to actually relook into their 2023 targets.
So Peter, as you say, we are near the bottom. How do you start rebuilding the portfolio? What components do you focus on now?
I think, especially for Malaysia, I think I like the banks. I think, yes, it's performed quite well, but I think on the valuation side, it's still very low. I think consumer, there are still some companies that are still undiscovered to a certain extent, or the valuation is still very attractive. Industrial as well. I think industrial manufacturing, due to the logistic issues and the cost issues, they didn't really deliver the earnings that I was expecting. But I think that going forward, if the commodity prices coming down and logistic issue resolved, things should be coming back. And definitely, I think the tech. I've been quite bearish on the tech for the last 1 year plus due to excessive valuation. I think for last year, looking about easily 60 times PE for the industry. Now, I think it has already fallen up to 20 times. I mean, it's quite a substantial fall. And now it's definitely looking much more interesting than last year, that's for sure.
So, Peter, it sounds like you're suggesting that we take a value investing approach versus a growth approach, right? Because in the last 10 years, growth clearly outperformed value, though.
I would say that I still look for growth, actually. Value is actually when you're really expecting a very bad market situation to happen. Whereas growth, you're more of those optimistic that, you know, you don't think that recession is going to happen. So I would take more of a growth approach now at this junction of time.
And Peter, can I ask about something that we've been watching over the weekend? We have rumors of an upcoming general election on the horizon. How do you see this affecting the calculus on recovery in local stock sentiment?
If you track back Malaysia recession, Malaysia election, right? Technically, there is no fixed market performance. It's not like definitely it's going to fall before election or definitely it's up before election. I think the parameter for Malaysia is how sure are the investors on who is going to win. If you look at past results, if investors are quite sure that certain party is going to win, the market will generally be good before the election. But if the market there's an uncertainty on what the result is going to be, who is going to win, how big it's going to win, market will generally underperform. You look at way back in 2013 or even 2018, right? Those were the period where there's uncertainty. I think in this case, people are quite confident that certain party will win. I won't say which party. So I think that would generally be good for the market.
But I guess the question here is maybe not GE15, but budget 2023. Will the market like a populist budget 2023?
If you look at Malaysia budget, it's always not much impact on the market, actually. Because so far, look at our Malaysia market budget, unlike the UK, right? No, you have a very, very shocking announcement on their tax cut policies. I think so far, our Malaysian budget, we have not really have something that is shocking yet. So we really have to see what was installed on this budget, then we can comment further on it.
Okay, I'm going to talk about one sector, probably the most unloved at the moment, which is gloves. Supermax and Topmax share price are down 53% and 74% respectively on a year-to-date basis. What's your outlook for this sector, though?
Again, it has been a sector I've been quite cautious for the last 2 years. I've been warning about this predicament. Okay, of course, there's a lot of concern about the capacity coming in from China. Okay, now what's interesting is we've been reading a lot of reports about the global world glove demand, right? I think we sell like 500 million pieces or things like that. But the reality is this: there is really no global glove demand statistic. So no one really knows what is the actual world glove consumption. The so-called global world demand statistic that we're seeing, they are not actually demand statistics. They are actually world production statistics. Simply because if you look at how they gather data, right, it's very impossible for them to go to every clinic in the world and every hospital in the world to ask how much glove you're consuming. So what all these statisticians are doing, they're using the world glove production, which is an available statistic, and they use that as a proxy to world global demand. Now, why this is important? Because honestly, nobody knows what's the actual world glove consumption. So when you don't know what's actual world glove consumption, it's very hard to actually gauge what is the impact of the new capacity coming in from China and coming from the US.
All right. So, Peter, thank you very much for speaking with us. That was Peter Lim, Chief Research Officer at Trident Analytics, capping the conversation there with a comment on the glove sector, saying that data may be incomplete for us to really have a clear assessment of how the sector will project moving forward.
I was very struck also by his point about that there's been no data about the correlation between GE15 or any past GEs with budget as well with market sentiment.
Yeah, true. That's really the case.
I found that pretty interesting because, you know,
There's no trend at all.
And
none at all.
There's always this, GE rally or whatever stuff, right? Whereas you saw what happened in the UK, just that mini budget was so consequential.
I think that was something that happened in the 1990s. It hasn't happened in 2000. Yeah. And guess what? Budgets also don't really shift markets that much anymore, partially because there are very few big announcements that are very stock positive. And you know what? It's news flow that drives stocks. When it comes into reality, less of the case.
7:17 in the morning, we are heading into some messages. And when we come back, we'll run through the top headlines, both locally and abroad this morning. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the Business Station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.